Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. It is still echo. Yeah, how about now? You see, now I can't hear y'all. All right, Shalom, good evening. Once again, it's another episode of Sword Truth Business Bible Talk. My name is Shalom. I'm one of the teachers with the ISBHBK, the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. And we have been broadcasting from our school location in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which is located at 7710 Suite F, Manon Boulevard Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110. We travel classes every Monday through Thursday from, we usually have it from 8 p.m. to 9:30, but we want to try to adjust that back to 7. We want to go ahead and work on adjusting the schedule back to starting at 7 p.m. After your time. Going from 7 p.m. to 8:30, right? Or 9 o'clock at the worst case. You know, so we are in the midst of transitioning the classes. It's just starting at 8 o'clock on Monday through Thursday at Albuquerque. We want to push it back to 7 o'clock Albuquerque time or Mountain Standard time. All right, and we're in the midst of trying to really get that set up and established as we work things out. With that being said, as you know, also we're connected to the brothers and sisters coming out of San Antonio, coming out of Houston, also coming out of Northern Virginia. As you know, it's nice. There's a live YouTube class. With ISBHBK Houston live. As you if you log on to YouTube and be able to catch that class, as well as we have one on here with the blog talk tonight on here with blogtalkradio.com/shop. As you know, the classes from Houston every Monday and Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. They're in Texas. In the African area, obviously that would be 6 p.m. The class started. And you can, again, catch it live on YouTube. ISBHBK live. You can catch that on Tuesdays and Thursdays. The Brother Kazak is on class. And you catch the show on YouTube. You live stream to scroll on to ISBHBK Norfolk Live. You notify wherever they have classes. Again, you watch them live streaming on YouTube at ISBHBK. Norfolk Live, all right, or Houston, no, ISBHBK Houston Live. Then we can catch your shows as well. We ask you to like, share, subscribe to all the channels, okay? At this particular time, we are broadcasting right now just on Blog Talk. We're not really doing the YouTube, only because we don't want to interfere with some of the other classes that the brothers are definitely streaming and have a competition going on. But we do want to keep our classes going for the African area, for those who might show up and everything. Albuquerque or beyond. Okay. I'm not sure how this is sounding. I really don't know how this is sounding on Blog Talk or what have you. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. One thing we've been going over for the past couple days, as you might notice, the title of tonight's class is ISBHBK Albuquerque Faith Part 3. We're going over a series and discussing faith. And going into it and really taking a look at it from the perspective of the Most High, of what the Most High perceives and understands for a person to have faith in Him. Right? Not just a faith in their own abilities, or faith in their money or their power or whatever it might be, but what does it mean? What the Most High says, have faith. What does He mean? Now, what's His perspective? What's His thoughts? What's His level? When he's talking about Israelites having faith, when He's talking about people having faith in Him, how does He recognize that? How does He recognize when people have faith in Him? And today is our third part of this series that we'll be going over. And again, we're not in a particular rush to try and just get through the class. Right? I'm not in a particular rush to try and just speed through, and we miss a lot of the nuances, we miss a lot of the precepts, a lot of the understanding of what the Most High is talking about. So I'm not trying to go through this real speedily just to say we got through it. and there's no understanding really achieved. And again, one thing I'm doing also with the brother there in Albuquerque is when I say understanding, I'm talking about a person who understands how they can take this class or take these scriptures and apply it within their own lives. I'm not asking for a parakeet. I'm not asking for a chicken quarter. I'm not asking for it to be replayed on a Blu-ray machine. But when I'm asking somebody to understand it, they understand what we're going over. What I'm looking at here now is they're looking to see that there's parts of this class, they can apply within their own lives. They can apply within their own realm. They can apply within their everyday running around and whatever it is that they might have going on. So when I ask the question, do you understand? It's not the typical hip hop, Nami. I'm not going with that. Just ask the question, do you understand? Because everybody will walk away with their own understanding, but they won't see how to apply these scriptures or how to apply any class in their lives. So just a little note, if you will, that when I do ask the question, do you understand? What I'm looking for, the answer I'm looking for is for how a person can take these classes or take these breakdowns and apply them within their lives, and not just repeat, like a parakeet, what I said. Because what's happening is a lot of people can repeat what the teacher says, but they're not seeing or they're not trying to think about how they can take these same classes, these same theories, these same topics, and now apply them, actually use them, and put them into use within their own lives. So this is the thing that as we start more of these topics, and as I'm teaching, that is one thing I'm going to be looking for and be stressing. Do you see how you take this class or these classes or these topics that we're covering and apply these concepts and apply these things and actually use them in your life as we're dealing with the topic of faith, right? As we're dealing with the topic of faith. So with that, the first question we want to start with tonight is Romans chapter 10, verse 17. We're going to go to the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And again, is somebody calling here at the house? Do we have long distance on the phone? I can't see if it's actually down there. I can't see the screen.
Romans, the 10th chapter, the 17th verse. Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. We can start there again.
Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Most High.
By the word of God, okay. And it starts right here. There's no need to go extra because it reverbs not too much. Okay. So one more time.
So then, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God.
All right, cool. So again, Romans 17, verse 17, we have, we're hanging that up. That's cool. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And again, if you're copying or following us on our podcast, you're going over the topic of faith. You know that faith comes by hearing, right? And that the Most High determines our faith by us trust, having complete trust and confidence in His Word, right? That we have complete faith and confidence in His Word. Or the Webster's 1828 definition, it tells us, the FreeDictionary.com definition tells us, an affectionate, practical confidence in the testimony of the Most High, right? An affectionate, practical confidence in the testimony of the Most High, that we have a love for putting into practice, putting into use, putting into action with confidence the words of the Most High. That if we're dealing with faith, and the Most High is looking at our faith, do we have a love for putting into practice with confidence the words of the Most High? That we know by applying the words of the Most High, we know it's going to work because we're actually putting His words into use. We love, we have an affection for putting His love, His words into use, into practice, into action. Okay? So that can't come. You can't get that affectionate, practical confidence in the testimony of the Most High unless you hear His words. It's just not going to happen. You can't put His words into action if you don't hear His words. You can't put His words into practice. You can't put His words into motion if you don't even hear His words. All right? It's impossible. It is not going to happen. All right? And this is one thing we want to examine ourselves with. And as we go through these classes, you do want to remember 2 Timothy 3:16. I'll just paraphrase it. That it tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of the Most High, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And if we want to be instructed in how to do things the right way, then we have to go by the scriptures, which is the word of God. So that as we're going through and we're finding out there's things that we need to correct that we might have been doing wrong, that's not for us to get to the point where now we condemn ourselves to death. We can condemn ourselves to a real deep depression. But it should be just a reminder, cool, you were doing this wrong, now correct. All right, you was doing this the wrong way, now it's time to correct the wrong you were doing. All right, real quick, I do want to get this scripture. As we're holding Romans 17, verse 17, can we get Acts 17, is it Acts 17, 31, I believe it is. Acts chapter 17, verse 31. It's Acts 17 to 30. Acts chapter 17 to verse 30.
Acts chapter 17 to verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent.
So there's a time that we might have been ignorant, right? There's definitely going to be times that we're ignorant. And we know, without having to go look through it and look it up right now, because it's going to take too long, that the word ignorant means to be untaught, unlearned. So there's times that obviously as Israelites, being in this captivity, being in this place where it was prophesied that we would not be hearing the words of God, then as we start to hear the actual words of God, we're actually hearing what the scripture says, that we've been ignorant, we've been untaught, we've been unlearned to the ways of the Most High. All right, matter of fact, no, it's going to jump too much, I'm sorry. We know that Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, you know, everybody can write this down. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 tells us that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. When we jump up to verse 1, Hosea chapter 4, verse 1, it tells you the knowledge that we're destroyed for is God's knowledge. That we have not had God's knowledge. We've had knowledge of the world, knowledge of Christianity, knowledge of being a Baptist, a Methodist, Episcopalian, a Lutheran, a Mormon, a Mason, a Muslim, a moneymaker. We've had all that knowledge. But the knowledge that we have not had is God's knowledge. All right? That's the knowledge that we have not had. So it's obvious that there's a lot of things when it comes to God we have been ignorant to. There's a lot of things when it comes to how the Most High wants things done or how he does things that we have been ignorant to because we have not been hearing or reading the Word of God. We have a lot of Bible stories. We have a lot of gospel songs. We have a lot of superstitions. We have a lot of Confucius quotes or what have you. But one thing we don't have is actual scriptures. One thing we don't have has been the Word of God. We have a lot of dreams, aspirations. We have a lot of emotions. But one thing we have not had is the actual Word of God. So knowing that we have not had the Word of God, again, in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, it tells us what?
Acts chapter 17, verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at.
So in the time of our ignorance, when we did not have God's word, it says that he winked at. All right, cool. Read on.
But now
that we have a chance to now hear God's word, now we have a chance to hear God's word, but not from the perspective of a Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, an American, a Seventh-day Adventist, a Mason, or just a survivor here in America. Now we have a chance to hear this from a Hebrew Israelite perspective, the truth of who we really are, the truth of our nationality, the truth of our culture, not the culture of a slave here in America, not the culture of somebody who's had to try and survive in America without the Most High, without the Word of God, to apply the Word of God, to hear the Word of God, to know the Word of God. But now we're coming back into our knowledge. Now we're coming back into the knowledge of the Most High that one, we're even Israelites. So now, at the time of ignorance, the Most High did wink at. But now that we're starting to learn and we're starting to get his word. Read. I'm sorry, what are you going to say?
Acts 17, verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent.
Now, as we come back and now see what changes and corrections we need to make, then cool, just make the correction. Right? There's no need to go for the drama. There's no need to go for the Academy Award about how sorry you feel and how bad you feel and oh my God, I feel like killing myself. Why go through all that when you just change? Right? Just change then. He knows that we've been ignorant. He knows we've been destroyed for lack of knowledge. He wrote it. He put it in his book. So there's no need for us now to go through all these changes to try and show how dramatic and how bad and sorry I feel that I'm at the point I want to die. Why go through all that drama? Well, all you got to do is just change. If we ate pork before we came to the knowledge of the truth. So there was no need now to go into this 80-day fast while only we're white and I bathe in milk because I need to purify myself because I've been eating pork all this time. But no, stop eating pork. It's not hard. And most of it ain't all in the drama. All the extra drama is drama. All right, cool. So with all that being said, at the time of ignorance, the Most High winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Okay? Let's go back now to what scripture we have before this? Romans 10:17. Let's go back there now. If we might. Let's go back to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17.
Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing,
right? The faith in the Most High comes by hearing. Faith in God, faith in his word, man, developing that affection, or putting into practice, putting into action, putting into use, putting into practice with confidence, the testimony of the Most High, that only comes by hearing. Right? That only comes by hearing. Now, I do need to get this scripture real quick. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Why is it saying that? Why is this statement in Romans 10, verse 17? Why is this statement being made? Let's use Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Let's read the book of Amos, the 8th chapter and the 11th verse. Amos chapter 8, verse 11.
7th verse. Right now, to come behind. Why is it important that it says faith comes by hearing? All right.
Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. So now, why is it written in Romans that faith comes by hearing? Right. Why is that written? Why is that instruction, or that reminder, being given to us? As we get the book of Romans, Amos chapter 8 and verse 11.
Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. Behold, then come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord.
All right, cool. Let's read it again.
Amos.
Again, so we're in the book of Amos, the 8th chapter, the 11th verse, and what does it say?
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God.
All right, cool. So this was a prophecy that was given to Amos way back in the Babylonian captivity. All right. And we know the Babylonian captivity was around 586, approximately 600 years before Christ stepped on the scene. Approximately 600 years, half a millennium before Christ even came, stepped on the scene, just over half a millennium before Christ stepped on the scene. It was prophesied that the days are going to come that was
that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water.
That the famine, that was that the most I was going to send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, go ahead.
But of hearing the words of the Lord.
But the famine that was going to hit the Israelites is that we was going to have a famine of hearing the words of God. And we know that that was accomplished once we all got here to the Americas, right? That once we all finally got here to the Americas, whether it was with the 9.5 tribes, the 9.5 tribes, before I get all caught up, the 9.5 tribes getting over to the Americas, around 722 BC, that they stopped hearing the words of the Most High. And then with the arrival of the southern kingdom, Judah, Benjamin, Levi, the so-called Negroes, West Indian, Haitians, and Haitians come to the Americas, that once the Caucasians got here or brought us here, that there was a famine of us not hearing the words of God. That's why we call ourselves Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian. That's why many of us saw the religion of the so-called white man of Caucasians that they came over to the Americas and try to credit them with the Bible and with all the pictures that were put in the Bible around biblical figures of being white, Caucasian, looking like white people. A lot of us were turned away from the Bible, right? Believing that the Bible is a white man's book. So we're going to try to find something black, whether it was a black Masonic house, whether it was a black, the Black Panthers, whether it was going back to Africa, remember back to Egypt, the Zulu Nation, trying to speak Swahili or whatever it was. They were trying to find something to identify with us. If he was a Jamaican or West Indian, trying to identify with Haile Selassie and getting attached to the Rastafarian religion or movement, trying to find something to identify with. That the fact that we got attached to all these different identities and we got attached to all the different religions lets us know that we were not hearing the words of God. Because we know from hearing the words of God that God's people are the Israelites. That God's chosen people are the Israelites. And there's going to be certain conditions that would happen to the Israelites to let us know who they are. So we've gone through this famine. And again, this famine took place upon the arrival of Caucasians to the Americas and the arrival of the so-called Negroes, West Indians, Haitians coming to the Americas. That we had their religion, their education, their mindset forced and beat it to us. Or where we had to just become survivors, hustlers. So now we call ourselves the hip hop nation, the bebop nation, Generation X, Generation what do you call now? The millennials. That we have all these different names and titles because we don't know who the hell we are. Because we've not been hearing the words of God. We've not been hearing the words of the Most High. So, can we read that scripture one more time, please?
Amos chapter 8, verse 11.
Behold, the day is come, says the Lord God. And I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord.
So there's no way we have faith in God. We haven't heard God. Right? There's no way you have faith in God and you haven't heard the words of God. There's no way you can have an affection for putting into use with confidence the testimony of God when you've never heard it. You've never gotten it. You've never received it. So there's no way you can have faith in God. This is why we have faith in, again, education. We have faith in how much money we make. We have faith in what kind of car we drive. We have faith in whatever religion we might be partaking in. We have faith in superstitions. But what we don't have faith in is putting into practice, putting into use with confidence the words of the Most High. All right? And that's what we want to work on now. This is the understanding we want to get to. Okay? So that's why it says in Romans 17, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is, it's time for us not to hear the words of God. It's not time for us to hear what God has to say, all right? And actually read it in the scriptures and actually get what the Bible says. So now we can put what the scripture says into practical use. We can now put what the scripture says into action with confidence, knowing that the word of God is true, knowing that the word of God will never fail, that the word of God is a buckler and therefore they trust in his word. It's a shield. It's a protection. Sword is actually a weapon that can be used when you put his word into action. When we put his words with confidence and we actually apply them. Okay? So from there, let's get our First Thessalonians. Right? Let's go to First Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. First Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. I want to thank everybody that's tuning in on the Blog Talk radio show. My name is Rasabi. I am one of the team with the ISBHBC, the Israelite School. Which history and practical knowledge. We are located in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where our campus is coming from. We also have schools in San Antonio, Texas, Houston, Texas, and also Northern Virginia. And we also associated with the brothers and families with the Masharai Yashahala and all Hebrew Israelites everywhere that are teaching that our people, some of our Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Asians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Seminole Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, and Dominicans, so called Mexicans, those people here in the Western Hemisphere. Negro, Indian, and Negro and Indian descent, that you make up the 12 lost tribes, that you're members of the 12 lost tribes of the nation of Israel, and that we are awaiting the arrival of our Lord and Savior, the Messiah, Jesus, the world calls Jesus Christ. Right. We associate with all those brothers and sisters that are teaching that doctrine, that are teaching that truth. Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 now, please.
1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. For this cause also think we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe.
All right, cool. So we read it once, so we're going to read it again. We're going to break it down now. So we're going to dissect it and read it a little bit more distinctly as the scripture tells us to do. All right? So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13.
Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when he received the word of God.
Yeah, when we did what?
Received the word of God.
Yeah, when we received the word of God. All right, that after there's been this famine for generations and this mystery has been for generations and for ages, that now as we receive the actual word of God, we're actually getting the scriptures. We're not getting theory. We're not getting superstition. We're not getting someone that was passed down. And not to belittle our people, but think about it. Most of our people were illiterate. We were purposefully not allowed to learn how to read and write. So if we can't read the Bible, how do we know it's the word of God? And we're talking about people under the most extreme duress that can be imagined on the planet Earth, that under the fear of the bullwhip, under the fear of having family members sold off to different plantations, the fear of rape, the fear of just outright murder, that under those conditions, we were forced to learn to survive. We were forced to learn religion. We were forced to learn whatever it is that we had to learn. That under those extreme conditions, that's how we got our belief system. That was passed down from grandmother to mother to children to what have you. Under the fear of, if we don't teach our children these lies, that and they raise up, that something bad's going to happen to them. Some evil's going to happen to them. But again, from a people that were kept illiterate on purpose, that they were conditioned to go by pictures. We were conditioned to just go by whatever the ruling party, the so-called white man, had to say. So we were taught how to survive in America. We weren't taught the scriptures. We weren't taught the word of God. We learned how to survive. But now, again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13.
1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But this calls also that we, God, without sin, because when you receive the word of God.
Now that we're hearing the word of God, and we're actually receiving the word of God. Read.
Which ye heard of us.
Which we have now heard. Go ahead.
Ye received it, not as the word of men.
Not as the word of men. Not that men can ever put something like this together. We receive it not as the word of men, go ahead.
But as it is in truth.
But as it is in truth, that this really is the word of God. These are the words of God. When somebody said, read. Not because somebody said, humdala, humdala, humdala. Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. Not because somebody came and told me a dream. Not because somebody came and told me a warm fuzzy, a cold prickly that went past their, across the backside of the neck. And raise up goosebumps. No, we're not going by that. That we're going by the word of God, that the Bible truly is the word of God. And it's not the word of men, but it is the truth and the word of the highest. Read.
The word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe.
And that it says the word of God effectually worketh in you that believe. That believe what? That believe that the Bible is the word of God. That when we use the Bible, and we put the Bible into practical use, that when we use put the words into action, that it works, it said effectually. All right? Can we look at the word effectually? Can we look at the word effectually? And again, help with the definition of effectual. It says, for this cause, also thank we the Most High, as I fix my monitor here, as we thank the Most High without ceasing, because when you received the word of the Most High, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of the Most High, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That the word of God works in those that believe this is the word of God. That when they put the word of God to use, they put the word of God into practice, that it really does work. All right? That we see it works above all wisdom of the world. That it works better than any philosophy, any superstition, any emotion, any dream that's out there, that the word of God works better and those that believe that the Bible really is the word of God. Can we have a definition for effectual?
In a manner.
That the word of God works in a manner.
To produce the effect.
In a manner to produce the intended effect.
Effect.
Anything else?
Thoroughly.
All right, that when you use the word of God, it don't work in the manner it was supposed to work. It really does work. But if you never put the word of God to use, to practice, you never put the word of God into action, you really don't believe. All right, and then the word of God is not going to work for you. That's why you want to lean and lean back more onto your own understanding. You want to lean back more onto people, lean more into their dreams, more into horoscopes, more into palm reading, more into superstition, more into dreams. But don't want to lean on the Word of God, because you haven't put it to use to see that it works better than anything else. All right? From there, let's go ahead and go to, you know, you said something? Did you have any definitions? All right, cool. Okay, then that'll work. So, and moving on, let's go back now to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Let's go back now to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. All right, Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the 6th verse.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith.
But without faith, without having that affectionate belief, that using the Word of God and having confidence in using the Word of God, that is going to work in your life. Well, have that affection for putting the words of the Most High into use, into practice, into application. That without faith, read.
It is impossible to please Him.
It is impossible to please the Most High if you don't use His Word. You don't apply His Word. You don't put into action His Word. Reading on.
For He has cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
And that the Most High is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Do we have the definition for diligently?
Mark by perseverance, painstaking effort, from that's from the Free Dictionary.
Okay, read again.
Mark by persevering, painstaking effort.
Right. Mark by persevering or painstaking effort. That you had to put that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And those that come to the Most High must believe that He is rewarded of those who do what? One more time,
Mark. Mark by persevering or painstaking effort.
That they by their persevering and putting into painstaking effort the application of God's Word. I'm actually using God's Word. I'm not just quoting it. I'm using it. I'm putting it into action. And by putting it into action, the Most High is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I'm diligently trying to see how to do things the way the Most High wants things done. By applying His Word. By studying His Word. By being wrapped around the Word. That before I do anything, I'm thinking about His Word. How do I apply His Scripture? How do I apply His thoughts? How do I apply His way? And by doing so, the Most High is a rewarder of those that diligently do that. One definition I have from Webster's 1828 Dictionary is with steady application and care. The fact that a person is putting into steady application and care the words of the Most High. I'm being careful how I apply the words of the Most High. I'm making sure I'm doing, there's a steady application of His Word. There's a steady applying, using, putting into action the words, the testimony of the Most High with confidence that the Most High is a rewarder of them. He's going to reward that person that is doing these things because they're showing they have faith in the Most High by putting His Word into act, by putting His words into use, by actually doing what He says. Okay? From there, let's get Luke chapter 11. Let's get the book of Luke chapter 11 And if we can please read verses 27 to 28. Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28. Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28.
Chapter 11, verse 27. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the times which thou hast sucked. But he said, Ye rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it.
All right, cool. So we're going to read this one more time. All right, we're going to read it one more time. And we're going to look. Chapter 11, verse 27 and verse 28, okay? Now we're going to read it for distinction. I'll read it for distinction to make some sense out of what we're reading, all right? So we can actually put it into use. We actually put it into play. Where we at?
Luke chapter 11 and verse 27. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bears thee, and the paths which thou hast sucked.
Right. So she was giving praise to Yahweh's mother. Man, your mom sure is blessed. And the passage that you sucked at, man, you are blessed to have such a mom like that. Cool. Reading on.
But he said, ye rather.
He said, okay, yeah, rather. Read.
Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it.
If you want to truly be blessed, even above my mother, blessed are they that do what?
Blessed are they that hear the word of God.
Blessed are those that hear the word of God and what?
And keep it.
And you keep the word of God. You apply the word of God. You put into practice the word of God. You use the word of God. That's how a person is going to be blessed, by God. That's how a person is going to be protected by God. That's how a person is going to be pleased by God. Because you're hearing his words and you're keeping it. You're hearing his words and you're doing it. You're hearing his words and applying it. So now he's going to reward you for these things. Okay? From there, let's go ahead and go to Hebrews chapter 3 now. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. And again, we know that the scripture says things written aforetime were written for our learning. All right? That we're supposed to, that the things, the histories that were written in the Bible was meant for us to learn from. All right? So let's go ahead and take a look at some of the history, take a look at some of the things, and get some perspective. Okay? Hebrews chapter 3. And verse 12 through 19, who we're going to read. But we're going to get the definition in between. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Let's read that, please.
Hebrews chapter 3, and verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief.
All right, so it says we have to take heed. We got to be careful. Brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what?
Unbelief.
Of unbelief. Yeah, we do want to look that word up. All right? That we don't, we got to be careful that we don't fall into this category. That we fall into the category where we stop believing the word of God. We stop believing that if I put the word of God to use, if I stop putting the word of God to practice, we got to be fearful of that. We got to be afraid of that. We don't want that to happen. Then now I'm getting so caught up with your people in the world, how they think, how they operate, how they do things, that we stop putting the word of God to use. We stop putting the word of God into practice. We stop putting the word of God into action. And now I'm letting my mind be controlled and ruled by people who don't even read the Bible. And now all they can do is say one thing or two things or whatever, and all of a sudden my mind is totally there. And now as far as putting the word of God to practice, to use, to action, I'm not doing that, but whatever comes up, I'll follow that, but I'm not following and applying and putting into action the words of the Most High. So, can we read that one more time, please, sir?
Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief.
We do not want to get to a point where we stop believing about God's time and confidence in putting the Most High's word to use. We got to be careful. God, stop having confidence in putting the words of the Most High into action. I stop having confidence that the way of the Most High is going to work. Because instead of walking by faith, I start walking by sight. That instead of walking by the word of God and what he says and what he instructs, I'm not going by what I see. The situation I'm in looks dismal. The situation I'm in looks drastic. The situation I'm in looks dangerous. And I'm covered with fear, covered with apprehension, covered with I don't have confidence that the Most High, that if I apply the Most High's word, if I apply the Most High's word, the Most High's word is going to work each and every time. We have to take heed. We have to be careful that we don't fall, that we don't be caught up and have an evil heart of what? Belief in departing from the living God, that the Most High is alive, that his word works. So what definition do we have for unbelief?
The withholding of belief. Infidelity. Disbelief of divine revelation.
Okay. What definition you mean from? Okay. All right. Cool.
I've got this right here from Larry Webster.
I didn't see that one.
It says, incredulity or skepticism, especially in matters of religious faith.
Right. I don't like using words that we have to use in the dictionary to reach those words. All right, cool. I'm reading from the Webster's 1913 dictionary. I'm reading from the Webster's 1913 dictionary, and it says the withholding of belief or doubt. Right from the 1913 Webster's dictionary, it says the withholding of belief or doubt. So it says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of withholding belief in the Most High's word. I'm withholding belief that if I apply the Most High's word, things are going to work out. I'm withholding belief in my confidence that God's word is going to work. Okay, so I guess you looked up the definition for withholding.
Well, actually, I looked up the definition of belief, and it says a rejection of belief.
Okay, well, which dictionary are you reading from, sir?
I'm reading from the Word Web Dictionary.
All right, so from the Word Web Dictionary, we have what?
Unbelief, a rejection of belief.
A rejection of belief, but the rejection of belief in what? That if I apply the Most High's word, if I use the Most High's word, if I put into action the Most High's word, I don't have the confidence that it's going to work. I don't think that in this situation, in this real life situation, look, what I'm going through, this is real life. This ain't play. Yeah, I'm really going through some things right now. I'm really going through some desperate, dangerous afflictions right now, and this ain't no time to play. That now If I apply the Most High's word, that ain't going to work right now. Now I got some real stress. I got some real problems. I got some real issues going on. And if I apply that Bible right now, that just ain't going to work right now. All right? I gotta get real with what's going on. I got to face reality. And again, it says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of rejecting the belief that the scripture is going to work for you right now. Now, if I apply the scriptures, that the scriptures, the word of God, if I put it into action, that's not going to work for me. My situation is different. What I'm going through and what I have going on, that scripture right now really don't apply to my situation. That for what I got going on, that I have special circumstances, that now that scripture is the wrong scripture to give me to apply right now because that's just not going to work. If you let me talk and explain, I can show you that how and why that scripture to put in application right now is not going to work in my situation. It's not going to work for what I got going on. Be careful. Be careful. Take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. I don't believe if I apply this scripture, it's going to help. It's going to work. That there's some real dangers. There's some real life situations happening with me in my life right here, right now. And those scriptures are not going to work. That's when a person is rejecting the belief and they're starting to depart from the living God. That now, so now the Most High can't work right now. He's a living God. He ain't the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. But now he's not going to work in your life. That if you apply his scriptures, his way of doing things, the way he said do it, you're departing from that and you're leaning back to your own understanding. Are you walking by sight and not by faith? Are you going by what you see as opposed to what you hear in the scripture? What you hear from the word of God. Be careful that you're not departing and that you're developing an evil heart of unbelief, an evil heart of rejecting the belief that the Most High's word is going to work, that applying scriptures is going to work. We have to be careful because, again, like we just quoted, things written in Romans 15 and 4. Things written aforetime are written for our learning. And as we're going to continue on with the rest of this chapter, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, we're going to see that this is one of the main things that our forefathers kept stumbling over. This is one of the main things that Hebrew Israelites, way before in the past, while we were in the land of Israel, speaking Hebrew, eating nothing but organic, cage-free, non-nitrate, off the branch, grass-fed, non-GMO, non-hybrid food in the promised land, nothing but alkaline water, ionic water, what else? That while we were there, that what happened with our foreparents? That we still had to come to the Americas. That we still had to come to this level of punishment. That even in the promised land, in Israel, with servants, with nothing but wealth, nothing but the greatest food for optimum health, what is it that happened to our foreparents? As we're going to read, they started to disbelieve. They started to reject their belief that if they apply the Most High's word, if they use the word of the Most High and put the words of the Most High into action, that was going to work for them. This is what we want to be careful of. Right? Going back to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12.
Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
It says exhort one another. Can we get a good definition for exhort?
Can we get a good definition for the word exhort?
It says strongly encourage or urge to do something.
All right. So it says exhort one another or do what?
Strongly encourage or urge to do something.
Strongly encourage or urge someone to do something. But to strongly urge or encourage, I have to force or impel into an indicated direction daily. That every day we're supposed to encourage and what?
To strongly encourage or urge.
Strongly encourage or to urge or to force or impel.
Or to incite by argument or advice.
To incite by argument or advice. How often? According to scripture, says daily. To remind each one another, apply the scriptures. Use the scriptures. Apply the word of God. Put into action, put into use what the Most High wants. Put into action, put into use with confidence the ways of the Most High, how he would do things. He says we're supposed to do this daily, not once a week at church. Not once a week at church, and it's okay. But we're supposed to encourage and force and impel each other daily, use the scriptures, apply the Most High. Do it the Most High's way, daily. Because of what we just read in verse 12. Which said, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. That we're supposed to be encouraging each other daily, impelling each other daily, forcing each other daily. Apply the scripture. Use the scripture. What does the Bible say? What does the scripture say? All right, cool. You feel that way. What does the scripture say? All right, cool. You see that. But what does the scripture say? Exhort one another daily. Hebrews 3:13 again, please.
Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. But exhort one another daily.
But exhort one another daily. Read.
While it is called today.
While it is called today. We know every day, once you get to it, it's called today. So it says, exhort one another daily. While it is called today. Go ahead.
Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
Lest we be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That, you know what, I'm not going to be able to apply the scriptures, to think about the scriptures with affection, with love, to put with confidence the practice and the use of the scriptures, that a person will start to depart from that. And a person, especially Israelites, will start going more by what they see. That Israelites, especially Israelites, will start going by more what they feel, but not from what they heard, as far as the scripture goes. as far as the word of God goes. I will listen to everything else. I'll see everything else. But I'm not seeing scriptures. I'm not hearing scriptures. It says, be careful, because we're not exhorting one another. We're not exhorting one another daily. It's real easy for us to be caught up in what we see. It's real easy for us to get caught up into what we feel. But it will not be based on what the instruction, what confidence, to put into practice what the Most High says to do. What do you got, sir?
Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. We are made partakers of Christ, and we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end.
And what confidence is that we're supposed to hold steadfast to the end? Our confidence that this is the Word of God. Not just having confidence, but having confidence in the Word of God. Having confidence that when I apply God's Word, having confidence when I do things the way the Most High wants things done, it's going to work. It is not about just because you have confidence. You have many people in the world that have confidence in their money. That's not the Most High. You have many people in the world that have confidence in their look. That is not the Most High. You have many people that have confidence in their abilities, but that is not the Most High. We cannot let go of our confidence that these scriptures, and by putting the scriptures into practice, putting the scriptures into use, putting the scriptures into action, that is going to work. We cannot let go of that confidence. And if you never gained that confidence, then guess what it's time for? It's time for, like we was going over yesterday, stop being a hearer of the word, it's time to start doing the word. So that you can experience the power of the Most High. So you can experience and see it's the Most High. Because you're putting into action, into practice, into use his word. How he said do it, the way he said do it. You're getting into that practice. You're gaining that experience. You're gaining that love to put his word, his testimony, in use, in play. Reading on. Verse 15.
Hebrews 3:15. While it is said, today, if ye hear his voice.
Today, meaning every day, if you hear his voice. So what's that telling us right there? That today, you might not hear his voice. Today, you might choose to hear whatever other voice is in your head, or on social media, or just passing by, you walking somewhere and hear something. Then now you're going by that, but you're not going by the Most High's word. You're not going by the scriptures. Be careful. We've got to be careful. Reading on.
Harden not your hearts as in the provocation.
It says, harden not our hearts. And we know when it talks about heart, it's talking about what?
Mind.
We cannot harden our minds. We can't harden our opinions. Don't get hard-headed. Don't harden your heart as in the provocation. Let's look at the word provocation. As we look up this word provocation, we're going to find out that it's experienced a direct period of time with our forefathers. It's referred to as an exact period of time with our forefathers, where we completely missed the boat. We completely missed the mark. We completely did not get it.
Unfriendly behavior that causes anger or resentment
Which definition is that from?
Yeah,
dictionary. All right, cool. Do we have the Webster's? Let's see what it says.
Merriam-Webster definition. This is provocation out of the Merriam-Webster 8.8 dictionary. It says definition one: the act of provoking, incitement. Definition number two: something that provokes, arouses, or stimulates.
Nah. We're going to use these definitions, but I just want to check just the plain Webster's, not the Merriam-Webster's, just the plain Webster's. All right, cool. You know, read that one again, please. All right, cool. We're going to move that one then. From the World Web Dictionary, provocation.
One more time, sir.
All right, cool. So it says unfriendly behavior that causes anger or resentment. Okay? So we're being warned in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. It says, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, as in the what now? As in the unfriendly behavior, man. That caused anger or resentment. So at what time did the Israelites present unfriendly behavior that caused the Most High unfriendly behavior that caused the Most High to be angry and resentful? This is what we want to make sure we don't get caught up into that situation. That like our forefathers, we get to the point where we stop believing and applying the words of the Most High. We stop having confidence that the Most High's word is going to work. We stop loving putting into action the words of the Most High. Like our forefathers did in the day of provocation, that their behavior was unfriendly towards the Most High. That their behavior caused Most High anger and resentment. We don't want to be caught up in that same thing. All right? The things written aforetime were written for our learning. We want to be able to learn from what they went through so that that part of history does not have to repeat itself. And now our behavior gets to the Most High to the point where he's angry and he resents us. Where he gets angry and wants nothing to do with us because of our unfriendly behavior because we have departed from believing in his word. We've departed from believing that if I put his word, his way, into action, into use, into practice, then it's going to, things are going to work out for me if I do it his way. We don't want to get there because our foreparents tried already, and it didn't work for them. All right? Reading on now with Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 16 now, please.
Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 16. For some, when they had heard, they provoked. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses.
So we're referring to that time, that period of time when we came out of Egypt. It's referring to that period of time when the Israelites came out of Egypt, where not only did we see the miracles that the Most High performed in our exodus from Egypt, but we actually heard the words of the Most High. And we still failed. So, verse 16 again. One more time, please, sir.
Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16. For some.
For some. Go ahead.
When they had heard.
When they did what?
Heard.
When they did what?
Heard.
When they had heard. They heard the words of the Most High. They heard the Most High. So not only did they have the eyewitness of seeing the plagues and the miracles performed in Egypt, we actually heard the words of the Most High, literally. And we heard the words of the Most High through Moses. We had all that as a testimony, all that as a witness, and we still departed from believing in the words of the Most High. With all that example. So how much more so now will it be easy for a person not to have love and affection and confidence in applying the word of the Most High on a daily level, on a daily scale? If we can, again, if you can put your mind to try and picture what was it like for those Israelites to see the plagues of Egypt? They saw these things. The water turned to blood, the flies, the locusts, the lice, the three-edged dog, the parting of the Red Sea, the chariot that was lit by day and by night, the water coming out of the rock, the manna from heaven, the quail, to have seen and lived through all these things, and to hear the words of the Most High, and they still departed from belief in the Most High. Still lost confidence that the Most High had their back. Still lost confidence that the Most High had their best interest at heart. This is what our forefathers literally did. So let's not get into this prideful, arrogant mindset that, well, that was them, this is me. Don't get prideful where you get to the point where you think it can't happen to you. Because, again, you're the victim. Because, again, the circumstances, the things you're going through is why you can't apply the scriptures and have confidence in them. Because now we have the scriptures and we have a testimony of what our foreparents went through as a witness for us today. We're living the curses that the Most High said was going to happen for us departing from his way of doing things. So let's not be here now. We have a chance, just like our foreparents, of hearing the words of the Most High. We're now hearing the scriptures. We're now hearing what we need to be doing, but we depart from our confidence. I depart from, I don't think applying, studying scriptures. I don't think applying the scriptures. I don't think it's going to work because I feel this, I see this. I think this. Don't go there. It's been done before. And our lives have been extra hard here in America because of our foreparents live the exact same way. Our lives have been hell here in America for the things we've had to go through here in America, because our foreparents did not hold on to their confidence that these are the words of the Most High. And I need to apply, put into action, put into use the words of the Most High. Read it verse again, please.
Verse 16?
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16. For some, when they had heard, they provoked.
When did our people start to provoke the Most High? It's after they heard the words of the Most High. Our behavior didn't piss the Most High off until we heard the Most High told us this is what he wanted done. Until he told us this is the way to go. This is the way to think. This is the way to reason. This is the way to look at things. It wasn't until he said what he wanted that what did we do? That's when we provoked him. With our hard-headedness, with our stubbornness, with our opinions, with our logic, with our way of seeing things. We didn't hearken to the Most High. And remember, the definition we went over of hearken yesterday was what? To quiet the mental comments.
Hearken, to listen without much mental comment.
To hearken, to what?
To listen with much mental comment.
But what did we do? We had a lot of mental comments. Mentally. A lot of thoughts in our heads. So, and not hearkening to the Most High. We've been there. And if we're not on a daily hunt of trying to make sure we're keeping our confidence in the belief and the words of the Most High, it is that easy to slip off. It is that easy to be pulled away. It is that easy to be distracted. Verse 16?
Verse 16. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16. For some, when they had heard, they provoked. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses.
But not everybody that came out of Egypt by Moses. Read.
Verse 17. But with whom was he grieved 40 years?
But who was the Most High grieved with for 40 years? Who was Moses grieved with for 40 years? Read.
Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness?
Because we provoked the Most High. We know sin is not keeping the Most High's law, not keeping the Most High's way, not doing things the way the Most High said this is how he wants things done. So our people continued to follow their own hearts, their own sight, their own minds, their own emotions, their own dreams, but refused to follow the words of the Most High. So what happened to their carcasses? They dropped dead in that 40-year span because they stopped believing in the Most High. They stop believing in having confidence in the words of the Most High. Reading on.
And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest?
And then the Most High swore. The Most High made a promise that what? That what? Verse 18?
And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest?
And who he swore was not going to enter into his rest. Now, I would like to get some definitions for the word rest. And I would like specifically Webster's, not Merriam-Webster's, Webster's 1820 Dictionary first.
Cessation of motion or action of any kind.
Cool. What the Most High say was not going to come into his rest or come into a place where you can stop moving. You can actually chill. He swore that this generation, these Israelites that heard my word, but stopped believing in applying the Most High's word. Stop believing or stop having confidence in the ways of the Most High. The Most High swore they are not going to enter into rest. They're going to be in a position of what? Where they're not going to ever stop moving. Imagine for 40 years, you just up and moving for no reason until you drop dead. You ain't going to have no rest. That when that chariot moved at night, guess what you had to do? Get your ass up, pack up all your stuff, and move. It was the middle of the day. You went to your routine, middle of the day. Chariot moves. Guess what you got to do? Pack up all your stuff and move. Until you drop dead, there was no rest. You're going to be in a position where you are continually moving. There's always something to be done. You can't stop. But that was promised to them that stop believing. The Most High swore that these Israelites who heard my word but rejected it, they rejected the belief that if I use and apply and put into action and have confidence and love to put the Most High's way into action, it's going to work. No, they thought there was another way, a shortcut, an easier way, a way I can do it on my own. I'm not going to follow. I'm not going to obey. I'm not going to put into steady application the words of the Most High. What else do you have for the definition of rest?
Inapplicable to anybody or being, as rest from labor, rest from mental exertion.
Rest from what?
And applicable to anybody or being as rest from labor, rest from mental exertion.
Even rest from mental exertion. If who did he swear was not going to have rest in their body or no have rest, a sensation of motion or action even in their minds? Which Israelites? Which one that came out of Egypt? Because we've been reading the whole thing. I mean, to them that heard the word of the Most High, but they stopped believing. They stopped believing that if I put the Most High's words into action, it's going to work. They stopped believing and having confidence in applying and putting into practice, into action, into use, the words of the Most High. They stopped exhorting each other daily. I'm going to let my mind wander. I'm going to let my mind go. I'm going to let my mind do whatever. I am not going to wrestle with the thoughts in my mind. I don't want to study. I don't want to put the words, Most High's words in my head. I got to put my mind on other more important things. All right, cool. You understand that was the same behavior that caused the Most High anger and resentment. That is what got the Most High pissed off. So now you have no mental rest. This is why people have panic attacks, anxiety attacks. You just shook with fear. Because you have stopped believing, you have stopped putting confidence in applying the Most High's word, in using the Most High's word. Whether because you stop studying, you start listening to whatever else, whatever it might be, you're going by what you see and by what you feel, but not by the word of the Most High. And now your mind can't stop. Now, your mind is just fragile. But what did the Most High promise? That those Israelites who heard the word, hear the word, but you stop believing and stop having confidence in applying the word, you have no rest. Your mind is everywhere. 10,000 miles per hour. You think of every possible bad situation, but not one time do you use the scripture to overcome any of that. Now, one time you put in confidence that if I just apply the scripture, things are going to be all right. Things are going to come through. Let me have confidence that if I apply the words of the Most High, it's going to work. You have any definitions?
Number two, quiet, repose, a state free from motion or disturbance, a state of reconciliation from the past.
For real. A state of quiet, repose, a state of being free of motion and disturbance. Now, regardless of the situations, how it might look, if I apply the scriptures, I have confidence that if I use the scriptures, things are going to work out. What does that give a person? They're free from motion or disturbances. But why do I need to smoke some weed? Because my mind ain't free. Because I'm not applying the scriptures. I'm not using what God gave. The word of the Most High is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But I'm not using what the Most High gave. I got to use something else. Because I don't believe that applying the scripture is going to work. Even though I'm an Israelite, just like our foreparents, each and every last one of them that came out of Egypt knew they were Israelites and spoke Hebrew, knew what tribe they were. Not only did they speak Hebrew, they sang Hebrew. Ain't nothing but Hebrew food. But why did they not enter into the Most High's rest? Because they, even though they heard the word of the Most High, they stopped believing that the Most High's word is going to work. They start having confidence that if I apply the Most High's word, look what all he's done. Look at what all he's made happen. And now I'm being told to do this, and oh my God, the Most High just brought me out here to kill me and my family. The Most High just brought me out here to kill my wife and kids. These were the words and thoughts that our people were saying, ready to kill Moses. This was the provocation. This was that unfriendly behavior that caused the Most High to be angry and resentful towards Israelites. You didn't get a pass because you found out you're Israelite. You didn't get a pass because you found out what tribe you're from. The Israelites heard the word of the Most High. They heard the Most High. But they what? Stopped believing in applying. Stop believing and putting into action what the Most High was saying. Stop believing that if I put into steady application, go back to the definition of diligently. If I put into steady application what the Most High said, he's going to reward. He's going to be there. It's impossible for the Most High to lie. Let the Most High be true, but every man, including myself, be a damn liar. Let's finish up Hebrews, as we have just 2 seconds left. Let's finish up Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 18.
Hebrews chapter 3 verse 18, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believeth not.
The ones that stop believing. You stop believing that the Most High's word is going to work. You stop believing and stop having confidence in doing things the Most High's way. And we started believing in what I see, what I feel, what's going on around me. I believe more in that than I believe if I do what the Most High says, that's going to work. That I'm going to come up with the wisdom or with the way. I got an idea that's going to work besides what the Most High said. It was that same behavior that got the Most High angry and resentful. Remember, Most High said, Moses, move out the way. This is a hard-headed and stiff-necked people. Move, I'm about to wipe them all out. I'll raise up rocks that will obey me. And for all I've done, all I've said, anything I said I was going to do, I've done. And they still doubt? They still question? Moses, let me kill all of them, and I'll let you raise up a family. And I'll work through you. Because these niggas are too hard-headed, too stubborn. After all I've shown them and told them and said to them, they still don't believe. They won't put trust or confidence into doing things my way. It's still about what they see and what they feel. We don't want to be counted that way. Verse 19, last verse.
Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
Why could they not enter to the Most High's rest?
Because of unbelief.
Because of unbelief. The fourth definition of rest, the fourth definition of rest from Webster's 1820 dictionary, it says peace or national quiet. The fourth definition for rest from Webster's 1828 dictionary says peace, national quiet. So why is our nation not quiet? Why are we the loudest people anywhere you go? Screaming, bitching, complaining about everything. Loud. Because we don't believe that we apply the Most High's word is going to work. We don't believe that we put confidence in actually putting the Most High's word to use that it's going to work. And this is why we don't have quiet. This is why we don't have rest from mental exertion. This is why it seems like everything disturbs us. We're letting things affect us so we're not putting it to use or into steady application the words of the Most High. Like our forefathers did. And we have them for an example of what happens when we don't hearken. When we don't hearken.
Hearken. To listen without much mental comment.
That when we don't listen with much mental comment, that we have a lot of mental comments. Why it's not going to work, why that don't apply to me, why my situation is different. We be having a lot of mental comments. And for whatever reason, we don't understand, ain't put it together yet, maybe because we don't study, that it's that same exact behavior that makes the Most High angry. That makes the Most High resent you. So that, you know, one of my favorite scriptures, Proverbs 16:7, that when our ways please the Most High, He will make our enemies be at peace with us. But I can't stop the mental comments. I'm being told this scripture. I'm being told that scripture. I'm being told to do this according to the scriptures. And I still got a lot to say. I still let my mind run. All right. Things written aforetime were written for what? Written for our learning. Are you learning? Or do you still think there's an idea you come up with that hasn't been thought up before? That you got another way, a better way, an easier way of doing things. You're just that type of cosmic genius that you know outthought the Most High. There's no way the Most High thought about this. So let me apply this. So we're going to end it with that, brothers and sisters, family. I want to thank everybody who called in on the blog talk. Again, this was Faith Part 3. If you haven't had a chance to catch up with any the other Faith classes, we do have them archived on YouTube, and I have them archived by date. Right? They are actually archived by date. So you have Faith Part 1. I forget the actual date. The Faith Part 2 was yesterday's date. Faith Part 3 is today's date, August 20th, 2019. All right. Tomorrow is Thursday, right? Now, I would like to have class. I know we say we lose some other things, but I would like to have class tomorrow morning. To the brothers in Albuquerque, are y'all good with that tomorrow? What do you have anything going on? All right, cool. How does 9 o'clock sound then? All right, cool. We will continue Faith Part 4 for the blog talk and on the Skype. And if you'd like to join our Skype class right now, only because since we don't have the YouTube going up right now, if you'd like to join our Skype, play with us on Skype, then please contact myself or the brother Jamalathon at jstellar8@gmail.com or just call me, text me directly. So text me first. Good luck calling if I don't know you. At 210-784-8463. Text me and we can really get you connected to the Skype class that you might be able to join us through the viewer. You can see us and we can see you. That's another way to join the class. All right, so I want to thank all the brothers and sisters and families that did join us. Thawadi Yinamathon, Shema, joining us there in Albuquerque at 7710 Suite F, Manal Boulevard, Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110. And with that, my name is Mashaba. And in Albuquerque. You know what I Shabbat? All right, God. and since you guys are joining us here live right now, with that, we'd all like to say the water, and with that, we'd like to say shalom.